Jesus taught but one God, one Spirit, who makes man in the image and likeness of himself, of spirit, not of matter. Man reflects infinite truth, life, and love. The nature of man thus understood includes all that is implied by the terms image and likeness as used in Scripture. The truly Christian and scientific statement of personality and of the relation of man to God, with the demonstration which accompanied it, incensed the rabbis, and they said, "Crucify him, crucify him. By our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." The Eastern empires and nations owe their false government to the misconceptions of deity there prevalent. Tyranny, intolerance, and bloodshed, wherever found, arise from the belief that the infinite is formed after the pattern of mortal personality, passion, and impulse. The progress of truth confirms its claims, and our Master confirmed his words by his works. His healing power evoked denial, ingratitude, and betrayal arising from sensuality. Of the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed, but one returned to give God thanks, that is, to acknowledge the divine principle which had healed him. Our Master easily read the thoughts of mankind, and this insight better enabled him to direct those thoughts aright. But what would be said at this period of an infidel blasphemer who should hint that Jesus used his incisive power injuriously? Our Master read mortal mind on a scientific basis, that of the omnipresence of mind. An approximation of this discernment indicates spiritual growth and union with the infinite capacities of the one mind. Jesus could injure no one by his mind reading. The effect of his mind was always to heal and to save. And this is the only genuine science of reading mortal mind. His holy motives and aims were traduced by the sinners of that period, as they would be today if Jesus were personally present. Paul said, "To be spiritually minded is life." We approach God or life in proportion to our spirituality, our fidelity to truth and love. And in that ratio, we know all human need and are able to discern the thought of the sick and the sinning for the purpose of healing them. Error of any kind cannot hide from the law of God. Whoever reaches this point of moral culture and goodness cannot injure others and must do them good. The greater or lesser ability of a Christian Scientist to discern thought scientifically depends upon his genuine spirituality. This kind of mind reading is not clairvoyance, but it is important to success in healing and is one of the special characteristics thereof. We welcome the increase of knowledge and the end of error, because even human invention must have its day, and we want that day to be succeeded by Christian science, by divine reality. Midnight foretells the dawn. Led by a solitary star amid the darkness, the Magi of old foretold the Messiahship of truth. Is the wise man of today believed when he beholds the light which heralds Christ's eternal dawn and describes its effulgence? Lulled by stupefying illusions, The world is asleep in the cradle of infancy, dreaming away the hours. Material sense does not unfold the facts of existence, but spiritual sense lifts human consciousness into eternal truth. Humanity advances slowly out of sinning sense into spiritual understanding. Unwillingness to learn all things rightly binds Christendom with chains. Love will finally mark the hour of harmony, and spiritualization will follow, for love is spirit. Before error is wholly destroyed, there will be interruptions of the general material routine. Earth will become dreary and desolate, but summer and winter, seed time and harvest, though in changed forms, will continue unto the end until the final spiritualization of all things. The darkest hour precedes the dawn.